Well, friends, this is the beginning of Holy Week. This is Palm Sunday. And as Stephanie and Paul shared with you, there's just so many ways to be able to connect and grow your faith. And so, friends, I pray that you don't let this week pass you by without pausing, taking an opportunity to reflect on the love of God and Jesus Christ in your life. And we're going to help you do that in every way, shape, or form. Tonight with the concert, tomorrow night with the Journey to the Cross, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's going to be a great week and looking forward to spending it with you. Before we get to the message, and based on what Paul just shared with us, it was just a joy, wasn't it, to be able to see the Maysville Panthers win that game yesterday, and God is good. And I think we always need to pay special attention when our congregation is connected to families that are deeply involved in such wonderful things. And you know, the Armstead family is one of our families, and Wesley starts on that team. And then Coach Dave Brown and his wife, they'll attend our church from time to time. They have a home church up in Coshocton, but they use our church as a second home. And I think we'd be remiss if we just didn't offer up a prayer. I know the Armstead family would appreciate that. They stayed the night last night. That's why they didn't make this morning. They stayed there in Dayton, and they're excited. Game time tonight is 5:15, if you'd be thinking of them and praying for them and maybe watching. But don't skip out on the concert tonight. The choir concert's going to be good too. But maybe we could just go to our Lord and pray. Now listen, before we pray to God, God doesn't have favorites, but we do. Can we just be honest? God doesn't have favorites, but we do, and so we're going to pray. Lord God, we just thank you so much for the excitement and the joy that this run that this Maysville boys team has been on. And Lord God, we pray that you would bolster them and strengthen them with all the confidence and the courage and the ability and the hard work that they put in and that you've given them. Lord God, we pray that they would glorify you and honor you in the process. There's some real good faith development stories that's happening amongst that group of boys, and they really have become a wonderful family. So Lord God, our one prayer is that you would allow them to lay it all on the court tonight, that they would give everything that they have in the best way that they have and all the gifts and strengths and graces that you've given them. And at the end of the day, Lord God, they'll walk off of that court and they'll know that they've given their very best. Lord God, would you surround all of the families in our community that will be traveling out there and surround all the families in our community that will be here watching on TV. And Lord God, would you allow people to have safe travel, a blessed experience. And Lord God, may it be something that we'll remember for a lifetime. Lord God, we pray this in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So friends, we are in week 5 of this sermon series. And the sermon series culminates on Easter Sunday, and that's week 6. So friends, Easter is coming. We've been talking about the best laid plans and this idea that oftentimes we can do all that we can to organize and ordain and plan and give effort to and think on the most amazing plan, and it can still fall through. And how do we respond when our plans fall through? And we've been looking to Jesus to show us examples of when he's shown up on the scene, when everything is in shambles, and God in Jesus Christ shows up and he puts all the pieces back together again and creates a picture that most people couldn't even have thought of or imagined. Now today I really want to focus on those moments where we've been heck-bent in our plans to see something happen and we get a door slammed in our face. But when that door is slammed in our face, maybe moments later, days later, or a year later, we look back on it and we say, thank God that my plan didn't come through and God's did. Am I talking to some of our people here? In other words, you've been heck-bent on seeing something happen and it didn't happen. Somebody intervened, God intervened, and you look back on it and say, I'm so glad that plan didn't work out as according to plan. It was 2019 and we had the pickup truck. I was just waiting for the camper. And so Aaron and I were talking, we'd been praying about it, and we're like, okay, now's the time, we're ready to get the camper, we've got the pickup truck, and we just need to make this purchase. And now that purchase was going to be significant, and it was going to also require a little bit of debt, and there was just something inside of me as I prayed about it, and Aaron and I went to maybe make this purchase, that we just didn't feel settled in it. Just didn't feel like it was the right thing for us. And I've been dreaming of this, praying for it, saving and planning for this. And it got to that moment where I thought I found the right camper, and I just didn't feel good about it. Just didn't have a peace about it. Something, there was opposition in my spirit about this. And unlike I've done in the history of my life as a young person and throughout, I finally listened to that voice, praise be to God, and just didn't make that purchase. I don't have any other explanation with you other than just knew it wasn't the right time for us. Little did we know, and we didn't make that purchase, praise be to God, that only 3 or 4 months later, COVID hit, and everybody and all of the financial uncertainty that was happening in our nation hit, and all of those concerns. And I'm not here to, I mean, we've been blessed throughout this. We've not heard it. We've not wanted for anything. Our family's always been blessed. But I can tell you this, I am so relieved that God didn't allow us to make that purchase as I look back on it. And I say, thank God we didn't make that decision. And that God brought opposition and closed that door to tell us it is not the right time to do that. Friends, I think we can all relate to moments where we're able to look back and say, we were heck bent on seeing something happen, and that got pulled out from underneath us, and we were able to look back and say, thank goodness that didn't turn out the way that I thought it was going to turn out, or the way that I wanted it to turn out, and God intervened in that moment. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, the Bible says, many are the plans in a person's heart. Can we admit that? We got a lot of plans, don't we? We make plans all day long and every day, but thank goodness it is the Lord's purposes that prevail, because we've all had plans only to have the door shut in our face. And maybe for you, the relationship ended and that door shut, or you lost that job and the door shut, or somebody said no and you were desperate for that answer to be yes and that door got shut. And you're working this plan that's not working, and you feel opposition, and you just can't ignore that opposition. Only later, you are so glad that that plan did not work out according to plan. Friends, have you ever thought you had a better plan than God? That's one of the questions that we're asking and answering today. Have you ever thought you had a better plan than God? You know, when things weren't going your way and you looked at God and said, God, what are you doing up there? Or how could this happen? Or God, why is this happening to me? If we've ever had that conversation with God, then in those moments, we thought we had a better plan than he did. Now enter Jesus and the triumphal entry. Today's Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of the Holy Week season. And so we're going to be in John chapter 12 today, and we're going to look at Jesus' triumphal entry. The Bible says, the next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Friends, what you ought to understand about this moment, that when this was recorded, the city of Jerusalem was abuzz. It was packed. People were coming from everywhere and making the holy pilgrimage to this holy city because it was the Passover festival and feast. They were coming to celebrate the Lord's the Passover meal, the Seder meal that they've been doing for decades and decades as a result of their freedom from captivity and when Pharaoh let them go. And so, friends, not only that was the city packed in a buzz for this Passover, everybody was talking about the Messiah. Everybody, people had seen his miracles. They've heard about him walking on water. They saw him feed 15,000, and the list goes on and on. Their king, the Messiah, was here, and the town was abuzz with these conversations of the one who had come to rescue and lead them from an oppressive government rule, an authoritarian rule. Now, you can imagine the tension that existed in the air as these conversations were happening, because the religious leaders on the one side weren't excited about this Jesus coming because they thought that he was a false prophet. And then on the other side, you had the Roman government, who wasn't excited about any kind of political uprising. And then you had Jesus and his followers right in the middle. Safe to say, the city was ready to burst. And on this scene, you have Jesus entering on the back of a donkey, people laying their clothing on the street, waving palm branches, putting palm branches in the place in place of him, shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, friends, we know the word Hosanna means save us now. They were desperate for their Savior, their Messiah, to come and rescue them. And yet in that moment, it only took 5 days later for those same people that shouted Hosanna on a Sunday, save us now, to cry crucify him on a Thursday. And then 2 days later after that, their triumphant king lay dead in a tomb. Friends, it's safe to say that their plans didn't go according to plan. Clearly it didn't, as this very same crowd would call for Barabbas' release, a known violent criminal, rather than the release of their Savior King. Remember that story with Pilate? He was going to go ahead and wash his hands and release a criminal that day. And the crowd, unbelievably, the same crowd that said, Hosanna, hey, we're excited you're here, would rather have a hardened criminal like Barabbas released than Jesus himself. Clearly, their plan is not going according to plan. Humanity's plan differed from God's. How about that? Can you imagine that? It happens every day, right? The amazing thing about it and the irony of the moment is that God had been regularly sharing his plan with the disciples leading all the way up to this moment. On three different occasions, he shared his plan. In Matthew chapter 16, here's one of them, verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Jesus had regularly shared with them of his demise and the way it was going to happen and that he was going to be raised from the dead. But by the actions of the disciples, they clearly had different ideas of how this salvation narrative should go. From Peter's rebuke of Jesus in verse 23, where he says, "This shall never happen to you, Jesus," to Peter's attempt to fight off Jesus' arresters in the garden to keep him from being taken captive, like Jesus predicted he was going to have to do. From Judas's betrayal of Jesus to the 10 disciples that were left being completely absent at Jesus' execution, hiding in the upper room for fear of being persecuted and executed themselves on Resurrection Day. All of these were signs that humanity clearly had a different plan than what God had. Because you see, humanity was looking for a political king to rule the land. Humanity had an idea of how they should be saved. You know, I mean, there's moments in our life where we've got problems and we need to be saved and we need intervention, and we usually have a pretty good idea of how that ought to look, right? To the point where we even tell God how that ought to look. "God, if you could only do this for me and that for me, then I promise to do this, this, and that." You ever have this negotiation with God when you're praying? Like, we have the best idea of the way things ought to go. And in this moment, humanity had an idea of the way that they should be saved. You see, they were looking for a political king to come and rule the land and take over the Roman government. Well, why not? In Jeremiah 23, we see the ancient prophecies of the Old Testament saying something like that. "The days are coming, declares the Lord," the Bible says, "when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which we will be called. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteous Savior." So friends, they were clearly expecting a king that would take a worldly throne and overthrow their oppressive government and make and provide for them a better life. And this is why they warmed up to Barabbas. The reason why the crowd wanted Barabbas to be released is because Barabbas himself had grown impatient with the plan that Jesus was laying out in front of people. He attempted to lead a political insurrection and to try to overthrow the Roman government on his own, and that's why the people showed him sympathy when it came time to release a criminal rather than releasing Jesus. They wanted to release Barabbas, who was taking action and was willing to lead an insurrection, rather than to release Jesus, who's showing up with peace, love, and happiness, humbleness and graciousness, teaching things like turn the other cheek, pray for your enemies, and oh, by the way, I came down to lay down my life for you. A lot of people are thinking, well, that is not a position of strength that our God is showing very much. Consider Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, another prophecy in the Old Testament. "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer." Now, friends, if you were hoping for a king that was going to come and wipe everybody out, that isn't the picture that we would have in our minds of how that ought to go. Okay, I mean, can we just be honest? That sounds like a God that doesn't have very much might or very much power. Oh, you mean he's going to let him be crushed and destroyed and just completely taken out? What is God, what are you doing, right? And so folks had other ideas of how they would be saved, and that's why they were looking to figures like Barabbas. We all had moments when we know better than God. Oh, by the way, scholars believe that's why Judas ultimately betrayed Jesus, not just for the money, but Judas himself was believed to have grown weary of Jesus' plans of salvation, and he wanted to see action as much as people like Barabbas and the others did, and ultimately that's why he betrayed Jesus. Friends, it's so hard to let go of our plans and to trust God's purposes. Can we confess that today? It's just so hard to let go of our plans in order to trust God's purposes. And it was like that for the crowd. Just like the crowd, we have a different idea about the gospel. We have a different idea of what it means to be saved. And we think that it takes our intervention to make things happen in our life, right? It takes our intervention to make salvation possible in our life, that we need to lead some kind of spirit-filled insurrection in order to make sure that we have salvation. We think we need to be able to add to God's gospel. We think we need to add to God's grace, that there's things that we don't measure up to when it comes to God. And in order to make ourselves right with God, it's got to be more than his grace and his love and his sacrificial nature, and that those things can't be sufficient, and so we need to take things over, just like Barabbas and the crowd wanted to do. And so rather than a joy-filled, grace-filled love relationship, we work hard to try to add things to God's grace. And we get tied up in things like religious legalism and all these steps that we need to take in order to achieve our salvation. When we know the Bible says that there is nothing that we can do to earn it, that it is only by God's grace, through our faith in His grace alone, that brings the salvation plan into our life. It has very little to do with what we've done, and it has very little to do with whatever plans we have, whether it be an insurrection or not. And it has everything to do with what God did in Jesus Christ's perfect sacrifice on the cross. It has everything to do with the gospel of grace. So friends, let's not be like the crowd and believe we have a better way and better means than God's plan to bring salvation into our life and into this world. Friends, it will go so much better for us. There'll be so much more peace in our life, so much more hope and daily joy to let go and just give our life to God and let Him work. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 to 21, Paul writes this to the church. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Paul says, I've got nothing to add to the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And friends, if we think that following the law and focusing on rule breaking is the way to God, friends, that leads to nothing but death and destruction because we can't follow all the law and all the rules all the time. Have you met somebody that's been able to do that? Now, I want to shock you. Even your pastor's not able to do that. I can't follow all the rules and all of the law all of the time. So we have to let go of that as a means of our salvation and to create this personal insurrection that somehow we have a better idea of our salvation and we got to lean into salvation and God's plan through His grace. So friends, it's time for confession. We need to be on our knees and our hearts and to confess all the ways that we've tried to outplan God. Can we just get real here for a second? We've got to confess all the ways that we've tried to outplan God in our life, and we've thought we've had a better way. And it starts with our belief about how we should be saved. We need to confess that it's hard to trust God's plan and to let go of ours. We need to confess all of the times that we thought God could make things right if He only did that very specific thing that we thought He should do. We need to confess that we are a fickle people, that in one moment we shout, save us now, God, but when things don't go our way, we shout, crucify Him. We just need to get real, friends, and to confess. God often uses the closed doors that we pray away in our life. Let's talk about that for a moment. That God often uses closed doors to lead us to His better purposes. And we have to confess that there's times we don't like those closed doors. Who likes a door shut in their face? Now, for some reason, there's a fun game we play at our house is that we try to beat each other to the door going in from the garage into the house, and the person in front shuts the door in the person's face behind them. Are we the only family that does that? Do you guys, I mean, come on now. This is like a family-wide thing, right? It's not fun to have that door shut in your face. I don't know, but sometimes it's nice to just kind of shut. Hey, you're behind me, peek. You know, we don't like having doors shut. This is a weird look into the Alice household, by the way. But we even the adult, quote unquote, adult father participates in some of that too. But friends, we don't like doors slammed in our face, do we? And we need to confess that that is a really, really hard thing. But God uses those closed doors. So maybe you lost your job. Well, maybe, friends, He's got a better job or career for you in mind. Or maybe you lost the relationship and perhaps He has a better person for you. Or that trip that you're on is falling through and nothing's going right. Well, maybe God has a better opportunity for that trip. Or you received a redirection from a loving friend and you're not liking it, but maybe God has found a better path for you. I remember a story of one of my colleagues in ministry, and he shared this with me, and he was having lunch with a man in his church. This was in a previous life, two or three churches ago when I was serving in Dayton. The man sat down with him at lunch, and he said, "I says I'm planning on divorcing my wife." I remember the pastor sharing this with me. He said he looked across the table from him, and he said, "Okay." And he said, "I just need you to know, since you shared that with me, and I'm your pastor, that someday you're going to stand before God, and you need to be able to answer a question. Have you done everything in your power, with God's help, to save your marriage?" And I was told that the gentleman kind of chewed his food for a little bit, and then the chewing stopped. And he looked back at the pastor, and he said, "You know what, I don't think I have." And I remember he told me the story that he said, he looked at him and he said, well, then let that door close. Let that door close. And you go back and you do everything you can to save your marriage with the help of God and then see what God does. Now, friends, I'm excited to tell you that to this day, that family remains married and they love Jesus Christ with all of their hearts. I'm not here to shame those that have been through divorce, friends. This is just an illustration for that moment. But friends, sometimes doors close in our face and we've got to receive them as a gift because we're about to head down a road that either isn't going to honor God or that God has a better purpose in mind. And that's what this person did. They received that closed door. Now, friends, there are going to be doors that are in our life that no matter how hard we try, we can't open them. And we need to be able to lean into and trust God that he may be closing a door so that he can open a window. You ever hear that statement? God's going to close a door so he can open a window? It is true. God is going to close a door from time to time to allow something brand new and afresh to blow in your life. And it's God's opportunity. You see, God will open new doors that no one can shut. Friends, there are doors that no matter what we do, we can't open. But you should know that when God opens a door, nobody can shut that door. It's God's word. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus says, I know your deeds. See, I have been placed before you. I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. So friends, when the door gets shut and slammed in your face, it can be a painful journey. And it can feel weary and hopeless and despair can set in. But we need to remain faithful to him according to God's word. And if we do, if we hold on to the promises of his word, if we put our trust in his name, like he said, put your trust in my name, then he will open doors that not the devil can shut or no man or woman on this earth can shut in your life. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but I want that kind of life. I want that kind of life, knowing that I have a God that is able to open doors at any moment, and nobody can shut that door. Nobody can shut that door. So think of the door that was slammed in the face of the disciples. Their Savior was taken captive. He was framed and mocked and ridiculed, tortured and crucified, left for dead, buried in a tomb. This was supposed to be their triumphant Savior. Imagine their brokenness as the plan that they had was falling apart right before their eyes. The stone covered the tomb, rolled in place, sat in a notch. Friends, you want to talk about a door getting slammed in your face? How about a two-ton door? How about a two-ton stone closing on their hope? Hope is gone, darkness settles in, and now they are wanted men and they're running for their lives. God's dead and nowhere to be found, all while their plans in life feel like they're falling apart. Now, friends, we know the end of the story. A week from today, we're going to celebrate that stone being rolled away, and it opens a huge, brand new door to fulfill God's purposes to defeat hell, sin, and death. It's a reminder to you and to me that while human plans fell, God's purpose prevailed. So friends, when doors close, hold on to faith in Jesus. When doors close, hold on to faith in Jesus. Friends, this is Holy Week. And Holy Week wraps up with one of the greatest Sundays of all Sundays of the year, and that is Easter Sunday. And all of this teaches us that no matter how painful the closed door, whether it's a two-ton stone or not, we can trust that God is at work, working things on our behalf for his good and greater purposes. And that's why Romans 8:28 makes so much sense. Now, we use this verse a lot, and we even abuse this verse a lot. Let's look at it for a moment. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, friends. Now, one of the things that this doesn't say is that all things that happen in our life are good. No, friends, there are things that happen in our life all the time that are not good. They're not good things, and we just need to name them for what those things are in our life. Tragedy, struggles, brokenness, loss of life, people hurting. Friends, those things aren't necessarily good. But what we do know about this, and this is our hope in the Lord, is that when plans fall apart, God's purposes always prevail, especially in this moment where we can trust him that he is working a greater good bigger than what we can see. And this is the good news. That his working for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. Not called according to our plans, but called according to his purposes. You see, friends, when we give God our life and we live according to his purposes and not the successes of our plans, when our life hinges on the purposes of God in our life and not the success of our plans, then we can always have hope, always have peace, and hold on to eternal joy that in the darkness of closed doors, we can see the light of faith of eternity, that Jesus is always working to roll that stone away and to open up a door for us that nobody else can close and shut. This is the faith that we have. When broken plans leave you feeling hopeless, God feels distant and dead, friends, know that he's working a purpose that always prevails. So don't despair. Trust him. Don't give up. Lean into him. He knows your strength is low. He knows you're struggling. He knows you feel disoriented, according to this promise from Romans and from Revelation 3:8. He knows that things are really struggling in your life. And God and the crowd and the disciples, they know that your struggle is real. They know how fickle we are. They know what it's like to 1 minute be praising God and the next minute to be looking at God and saying, "What are you doing in my life? How is this possible?" They would tell you to hold on to his promises. The disciples, if they're standing here today, would tell you to keep focus on his name, the name above all names, Jesus Christ, and to trust that in time that door will be opened. So friends, when things don't go according to plan, and they didn't for the crowd's plan had fallen apart, the door was shut on the disciples, we know the end of the story. He opened the greatest door ever and accomplished far more than we could ask or imagine. So friends, put your faith not in your plans, but friends, put your faith in Jesus Christ. Let's let go of our agendas. Let's give him our whole life and trust him fully in all of his ways. Let's let go of our human-made plans and seek God's purpose in all that we do. Let's let go of how we think that God should rescue us. Let's let go of how we think God should save us and cry out to him to deliver us as he sees fit. Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. And trust that he's about to victoriously roll aside a 2-ton boulder and open a door that none can shut on you. So friends, let's land this plane with some action steps. Number one, so we need to confess times where we thought we knew better than God. Now, friends, I would think that we'd have a whole lot to pray about right there. So, friends, in this week, this season, let's confess all the times we thought we knew better than God, and we tried to be our own Savior. We tried to be our own God. Number two, when a door closes this week, hold on to the light of hope. Doors will close. It's going to happen. Hold on to the light of hope. Hold on to the empty tomb. Hold on to the stone rolled away. Number three, anticipate the open door. Anticipate the open door. I told you that we're going to wait till Sunday to really celebrate the resurrection because Easter Sunday's coming. Friends, when you believe in Jesus Christ, Easter Sunday's every day, right? Easter Sunday is every day. So carry with you every day the anticipation of the open door and the light in the midst of whatever dark moment that you're in. When Christ did it then, he did it once and for all time. And therefore, that makes us resurrection people, people of the empty tomb, who always have hope in the face of closed doors. Let's pray. Lord God, we know that there are some of us here today that we're really battling and struggling, and we've experienced a closed door in our life, and someone told us no when we needed a yes, or relationship is broken, or a job got ended, or whatever it may be, Lord God, and we're just really struggling. We had a plan, Lord God, and it's fallen apart. And Lord God, we were just heck bent in that moment of seeing something happening. And since that's fallen apart, we don't know what to do or where to go. Lord God, we confess to you that there are times in our life where we think we know better than you. Lord God, in this moment, would you cause us to come forward in our hearts with a repentant spirit, a contrite heart that, Lord God, says, forgive us. Forgive us of the times, Lord God, where we tried to play God, where we believed that we had a better plan of salvation than you've given us, Lord God. Lord God, we desperately need you to show up in our life. We desperately need you to take over because we've tried to take over our life, and Lord God, it doesn't work. Some of us here today, we're hungry, we're broken, we're in desperate need of you. Some of us watching on the internet today, we've got questions about faith, Lord God, and we know that we need you, but we don't know how to get to you. And so, Lord God, here and now, let us choose you, whether it's the first time or we're rekindling our faith to say, God, I've messed up. I need you in my life, Jesus. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you've been raised from the dead, and I invite you into my life to be my Savior and my Lord. Lord God, I invite you to take over my life. I give you every area of my life, Lord God. And Lord God, I choose you today. And God, we hold on to your promises that for whoever believes in their heart and confesses with their lips will too be saved. And so, Lord God, we celebrate our salvation this day. We celebrate that you've saved us all of these days since the first day we gave our hearts to you. Or if today, for the very first time, Lord God, that we have brand new brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God with us. Lord God, we desperately need you, especially when our plans fall apart. Lord God, remind us that your purposes always prevail, and you're always bigger than our thoughts, always bigger than our ways. And we say thank you, God. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, I want to invite you to stand for this closing song, and we're going to have our prayer team up here to do some ministry. If you'd like to be prayed over, anointed with oil, if you need to be encouraged in any way, if you want to just come forward and celebrate something that's going on in your life, if you're ready to join God's church, or you've never been baptized before and you're ready for that, or whatever decision you need to make, maybe for Jesus Christ, come forward and talk to any one of these folk. I'd love to talk to you about that. And we're going to sing this song and leave the altar open for anybody that just desires to come forward.